The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Well, it is good to have you here with us today, and it's also good to have our kids with us. And I wanted to kind of get us started a bit by bringing our kids in terms of getting them involved and kind of, we need your help. So kids, I know you're in your packets right now, but I want your involvement. I'm going to ask a question, and big kids can participate in this too, so everybody. I just want to ask you a little bit. I know we're a divided church, and we are divided over either we love cats or we love dogs. So I just want to kind of do a little poll here, and I want to ask you, how many of you love cats? Okay, I'm putting my hand down. Hold them high. Own it. We need to judge you. We need to look at you, those of us dog lovers. All right. Okay, you put your hands down. How many of you love dogs more? Yes, there's hope for Peoria Nazarene Church. Two hands from Dr. Spahn. All right, second question here. How many of you want a cat? You don't have one, but you want one really badly. Okay, that's not happening. All right. So kids, you can elbow a parent right now if you need, or a grandparent. Don't actually bypass your parents, because they'll probably tell you no. You might just want to go straight to your grandparents. They'll probably sneak one in on, you know, for you. How many of you want a dog? You don't have them, but you want a dog so bad. There's some kids who want a dog. So I'm going to get in trouble with moms and dads. So I know coming in today, it was kind of funny. Jennifer came up to me, my wife, our children's ministry director, and she said, some of the kids are disappointed they don't get to see Eric Moore's cat that's been on our live stream. So I'm okay with that, never seeing a cat again. So we're all right. But what I want to do is I want to tell you a little bit about what I love about dogs. I love the fact that dogs, I mean, I know people say they're dumb, but one of the things I love about them is they can't hide anything. Dogs aren't very good about pretending. Cats, on the other hand, they can jump on your kitchen table. You know, if you're one of the people who leaves your butter on the table, don't do that. Cats will get up there. They'll make it unclean. They'll do terrible things. You know, I mean, cats are destructive, and basically, you'll never know it. They feel no remorse. They don't have a conscience. Dogs, on the other hand, if they do something wrong, dogs really feel bad. And so I want to show you a video that I think, in my mind, will show you how dogs can't pretend. So check out this video.
All right, well, apparently while I was out, somebody got into the kitty cat treats. Now, I'm going to go look at the suspects. Suspect number one. Is it you, Macy? See your face. Did you do this? Did you? I don't think you did. Number two. What? Did you do this? Denver, did you do this? Denver, was this you? Denver, you won't look at me. Did you? What? Denver, did you do this? Look at me. Come here. Let me see. Let me see your face. Oh my goodness, Denver, you didn't. You did this? What? You got into kitty cat's treats? While I was gone? I can't believe it. Are you sorry about it? Okay. You know the routine. In the kennel. Go on. Very disappointed. You're in the penalty box. With the battles of sound. You let it happen. I hope you're happy too. All right.
I love that video.
Apparently, while I was out,
there's a reason why that video has over 50,000 or 50 million views to it. So, but you got to love that video of a dog who cannot hold back the fact that it's been caught doing something it shouldn't do, unlike cats. So the reason I share that is, although dogs aren't good at pretending, people can be. I can be. You can be. And I want us to look at a passage, and I think it's going to be so, so very important. It's a passage in Scripture that reminds us that God does not want us to pretend to love one another in the church. He wants us to really, genuinely love each other. Some of us might think that, hey, I'm going to be a person who doesn't pretend. I'm just going to say whatever I think. I'm just going to tell people as it is. I'm just going to do me. That's not the solution for hypocrisy. The solution for hypocrisy, according to Scripture, is transformation. It's being changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not continuing the way you are just with boldness and not caring what other people think. It's becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ, being changed to be like Him. So whether you're a kid today with us, or you're from home, or you're worshiping here as an adult, I believe what God wants us to hear this morning is, do not pretend to love. A dog can't pretend. We can be pretty good at times at pretending. We must really, genuinely, from our hearts to our hands, love one another. That's what it means to reflect the love of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus. If we do religious things and we attempt to align our lives with the teaching of Christ without really experiencing the love of Jesus in us, we fall short. And here's the sad thing is, we fall short of the joy and the hope that we can receive from really knowing Jesus. There's so much joy. There's so much pleasure in knowing God, our Creator, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to stop short and just pretend to love, but we really, as followers of Jesus, want His love to be in us so that we genuinely love one another. But what does that look like? And just for a few moments this morning, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Romans 12, 9 through 13. And we're going to consider what it looks like to really love Jesus. And as I've prepared this sermon, I just want you to know I need this. I know that I need transformation. And every week I'm reminded of that as I open God's Word as a pastor, far before it could ever be God's Word through me. It has to be God's Word over me and in me and to me. And I know we have other pastors here today who are retired, who they know the feeling. Every day as you open the Word of God, there's a humility of knowing I need this. And so let's open our hearts receptively to Jesus. Can we just pray and ask Him to help us to do this? Jesus, Your Word is life. It is truth. It has the power to liberate our hearts, to show us what we were made to do, how we were made to live. And Father, I want us all to pray, me included. The person who needs Your Word most today, I know, is not sitting next to me or in front of me or behind me. It's me, O Lord. I need You, Jesus. We want to really, really know Your love and to reflect that love for the world to see. So Jesus, speak. You speak through the Holy Spirit today, Your Word says. And would You speak through Your Spirit in this room and in every home so that we may truly, truly love You and love each other well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 12, 9, the Apostle Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. A number of commentators compare this passage with 1 Corinthians 13. It's such a vivid description of what Christian love should look like here in Romans. It's this challenge that we must not, the New Living Translation says, don't merely pretend to love each other, really love each other. Verse 9. So I want to share what that looks like. The love, loving like Jesus reflects the character of Christ. So if we really love like Jesus, we will reflect his character. Do you realize that this is the goal of the Christian life? Of your salvation, if you've come to trust in the Lord Jesus and you've been saved from your sins, it's not so that you can just go do whatever you want in your life and then you get to go to heaven when you die. Thank goodness it's true that we have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, but Scripture emphasizes over and over again, the point of your salvation is your sanctification. Now that's a big word. It's a churchy word, but it's a word that we use a lot. It simply means this, your Christ-likeness, that you would be different from the world. Not that you'd be weird and wonderful or holier than thou. No, that you would reflect the love of Jesus Christ. When the world sees you, they see the living, risen Son of Jesus Christ. And his character becomes your character. You see, if we love like Jesus, we must reflect his character. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying in this verse right here. He says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. This is echoed over and over throughout the New Testament. We can go all the way back to Jesus. If you want to follow me, take up your cross. Jesus is saying it's a death to self and a life to Christ, to live to God, to share the good news, to live sacrificially, to love God fully and serve and love others. Here he says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Colossians 3, 5 through 14, I'm not going to read it, but it's one example of the Apostle Paul saying, you need to put to death. He says, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, and he lists all kinds of things. He lists desires that are impure. He lists gossip. He lists greed. He lists anger. He lists rage, malice, slander, filthy language. He says, all these things that used to define you as a follower of Jesus, who is loved by God, brought into his family by grace through faith, you must reflect the character of Jesus, and that means putting off any way that is evil, that is sinful against the will of God, and it means putting on the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ, clinging to what is good. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, forgive one another. So there's things we must put off. We must hate evil. We must run away from evil. Let me tell you something that I believe the Lord has been showing me a lot during this time. The problem in my life often is not the evil outside of me or around me. The greatest problem is the evil within my heart that I can't see. It's the reason the man after God's own heart, David, Psalm 139, search me, O Lord God, see if there's a wicked way in me. We're so blinded sometimes to the areas of sin or the areas of greed or whatever it may be in our heart, we can't see it. And it must start there, that we must hate evil. We must seek to put on the character of Christ in every area of our life. So loving like Jesus reflects his character. The second truth we see here today is loving like Jesus is devoted. Loving like Jesus is devoted. Paul says, be devoted to one another in love. Now, there's a little play on words here. There's a play on words with devoted and love. The word devoted has the same beginning to it that the second word love, the word for love is Philadelphia. And so hear what he's saying. These are words. The first word is only used once in the New Testament. It's this word that captures a devoted, loving family relationship. That we are to be devoted to one another and we're to love each other dearly like a family. So make no mistakes about this. This is a brotherly, sisterly, family love. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, not just to the church at Rome all those years ago, but to Peoria Nazarene today, is we are to be devoted to one another in love. And we are to love each other dearly in the body of Christ. That's our devotion. It's a devotion to each other. It's a long view of relationships. It's a family love. Third truth is this, love like Jesus praises others. Doesn't toot its own horn. Doesn't lift up itself. But loving like Jesus is when we honor one another above ourselves. The English Standard Version, a better translation of this, says, outdo one another in love and showing honor. And showing honor is this idea of praising, of lifting up. And you know, when you praise somebody else, you don't lose anything. Sometimes we feel like, well, I want to be praised. I want somebody to honor me. I want to be in the position of honor. But when we honor people rather than seeking honor for ourselves, we gain more joy in our hearts. We experience more of God's divine love. You see, anything good that we give somebody else, whether it's praise or whether it's encouragement or prayer, is only evidence of the presence and love of God in us. And the more we let go and the more we give praise and honor to other people, the more God fills our heart with His love and joy so that we can give more and we can continue to give more. So loving like Jesus is praising other people. So let's pride ourselves at putting other people on pedestals. Let's pride ourselves in lifting other people up in the family of God, not in tooting our own horn. Are you serious? None of our kids laughed when I said the word toot. Sorry. I have boys. I'm sorry. So the fourth truth is this: love like Jesus stays strong by the Spirit. Paul says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. This idea of zeal and eagerness that we are to put every effort we have into serving the Lord. Zeal is important. Passion, commitment. But it's important that we realize for that to be sustained in our lives, it has to come from the Holy Spirit in us. Some of the greatest works that God does are followed after a long faithfulness that seems to be unfruitful. And what I hear God saying to me so often as a pastor and to us, let's not just rush to something initially with a lot of enthusiasm and energy to help others, to serve others, to join a ministry or whatever it is that we're doing. Let's trust and lean on the Holy Spirit to have a sustained focus and a sustained zeal in our life. He talks about spiritual fervor, and this is really a picture of the Holy Spirit in us, that He creates this energy. It's the Spirit of God's fire in us that enables us to do this. One commentator says this: when the Spirit takes over, we are set aflame and begin serving the Lord. He says, when we are on fire for the Spirit, we will always serve the Lord. And when we serve Christ, we must be filled by the Spirit. The result will always be a transforming ministry that will bring glory to God. And we sustain this by prayer and the joy of God in us. Even in affliction, difficulty, we keep serving the Lord. And this zeal turns into commitment. And we continue to be faithful in our prayer. And the final truth I want to share with you this morning is that loving like Jesus is generously welcoming others. Love like Jesus generously welcomes others. Paul says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. If we are devoted to one another, we will share with those in need and we will practice hospitality. In the first century, when this was being written, many of us think about when we go to a hotel or an inn or somewhere, a motel, somewhere on vacation, we're kind of excited because it's cleaner than our own home, right? You have clutter, especially with a lot of kids being at home, school at home, there's kind of junk everywhere, and it's hard to keep the house clean because the kids are like totally ruining everything, right? No, you guys aren't doing that, right? But so when we get to go to a hotel, it's like, oh, it's awesome, it's clean, somebody else cleans, somebody else makes the bed, we don't have to. But the first century was very different. In fact, inns, there was actually, in the first century, there's some evidence in some literature that in one actual Greek play, so this is a Greek play where they're kind of mocking inns, they compare inns on the basis of which one has fewer cockroaches. So inns, or hotels, if you will, were not very clean, and there wasn't very many of them. So Paul here is challenging the church, practice hospitality, open up your homes. And I think it's important that we just don't dismiss that and say, oh, you know, that's the first century. We can go to Starbucks or we can do this. I think there's still a call on us as followers of Jesus. Open up our homes, invite people over, show the love of Christ, practice real, genuine hospitality. But he doesn't just say, share with people like you. He says, share with those in need. So true hospitality is not just welcoming my friends who are like me, who like what I like, do what I do, who have a similar amount of money in the bank account as I do. It's opening my home to others in need, welcoming them. How else can they know the love of Jesus if I, as a follower, don't open up my home and show the goodness of Christ? That's what hospitality looks like. See, God today wants us to really love like Jesus. We are called to love like Jesus. Do not pretend to love one another. Really, really love Jesus. So I just want to close with this. How do we do that? So I told you what to do. Paul's told us what to do. How? How do we move from pretending to a genuine love that reflects the love of Jesus? And first of all, we see that this passage is connected very closely to what everything Paul's already said. This is connected already to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which clearly states we cannot do this on our own. We can't just decide that I'm going to start actually myself really loving each other. No, this call is anchored in our need for salvation and transformation. You see, something has to change in your heart, in my heart, to love people like Jesus. Because of sin and its effects on the world, something has gone terribly wrong in the human heart. And it's not just out there, it's in here. Romans 5:12 is this passage that haunts us. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death has spread to everyone because all have sinned. So the truth is that sin's effect on the world has resulted in not just physical death, but spiritual death. Our hearts, rather than loving God and serving God fully, our hearts are turned inward. We want to love and serve self. And so we're born into this world not only still with the image of God, but that image of God has been marred by sin, so there's corruption, and we want our own way, and we have to have our own way. And Paul goes on as he talks about this in Romans 3:1-10, he talks about that there's none righteous, not a single person. Every person who's ever lived pursues their own way. He says everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God, and the wages of our sin is death, the result of that. And that's not just a physical death, it's spiritual death. In fact, every time I sin, every time I choose my own way and I seek my will over God's and over serving and loving others, something in me dies. It's brokenness. This brokenness comes into my life, and you see, I'm here to tell you that unless you experience the new birth in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you, you cannot love people really like Jesus. What does Paul say? Romans 5, he says that God demonstrates His love toward us, in that while we were lost and we were sinners, Christ died for us. And he goes on in Romans 10, he says this, the word is near you. He says it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. And he says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is in your heart that you believe and you're justified, forgiven, released from the guilt of sin. And it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is saved. So if we want to love like Jesus, something's got to change in my heart. Something's got to change in your heart. And it's a good day when the Holy Spirit takes the scales off of our eyes, and He puts our attention within, and He shows me my need. Jesus said that I've come not for those who think they're well, but for those who are sick, those who are lost. And when He was saying that, He was referring to you and me. He was referring to our need. And if we're going to love like Jesus, church, we have to have a moment in time where we experience that reality of coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we know our sins. We know that we're lost. Like Paul says, we're trapped. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. But then we know we're loved. And we know that Christ died for us. and that we confess with our hearts and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is our Savior and our Lord, and He's died to take away not only the penalty of our sins, but to break the power of sins in our life. So you have to come to know the Lord Jesus. You have to surrender your life to Him. But we also need transformation. You see, it's not just about having a moment of faith. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. We looked at this a few weeks ago, Romans 12, 1 through 2. Simple point was this, we considered that what Christ has done for you, if you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, what He's done for you must completely change who you are. Genuine faith must result in us coming to a moment as we follow Christ where we recognize that He has given everything for us. We have His Spirit in us. We're living with Him. We're living for Him, but we're walking with Him. But we need to surrender full control of our lives to Jesus. Amen. We need to allow Him to transform us. And what does He want to transform us into? The very character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be as Jesus. He wants us to walk as Jesus, talk as Jesus, live as Jesus in this world. That is true worship, offering all of yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, help me. I want to love like Jesus. And at times it can be easier to pretend. At times it can be easier to hit cruise control. But if we're going to love like Jesus, let's respond to Him. Let's trust Him. Let's realize our own sinfulness. Let's make sure that the foundation we're standing on is not our religion. It's not our good deeds. It's on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that we've trusted in Him as our Savior and our Lord. We are saved by grace through faith, trusting in Him. But let's not just hit cruise control there. Let's also realize that God wants us to enter into a life of full and entire surrender to Him, where we would offer ourselves completely to belong exclusively to Him, to let Him shape us by His Spirit, by His Word, so that we may reflect the very character the nature of Jesus to our world. Let's close in prayer. Let's sing. Father, we thank You for Your love for us today. Father, I thank You that time and time again in my life, You have a way of bringing my eyes back to Me so often. I'm very easily distracted, but Your Holy Spirit's so faithful always to come alongside me, remind me of not only my great need of You, but also how faithful and sufficient You are for every need I have. And Father, during this time and all times, above everything in our lives, at the end of our lives, we want to be known for loving like Jesus. Father, we want to reflect Your character to this world. The world needs to see You. We want to be devoted to one another. We want to practice hospitality. We want to serve, we want to give. Father, we realize we can't do that apart from Your work in us. So I just want to pause. If there's anyone here or online, Lord, who doesn't genuinely know You as their personal Savior and Lord, the gospel, the message of hope is not try harder, do better. It's that we can't, that we're all lost, we've all sinned. And even though we've sinned and we've become captivated by evil and sin and our hearts are broken and evil beyond measure, You still love us and You send Your Son. And Father, You invite us to trust in Him fully, to turn away from trusting in whatever other things that we place our trust, wherever other places we go, and to turn fully to experience Your love. And the moment we believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and we turn to You, You make us a new creation. We're born again, created in Christ Jesus, and You give us Your Holy Spirit, and You live in us, and we are Your children, but You call us to take up our cross. And You remind us that in light of everything You've done to save us, we must surrender everything as a living sacrifice to You and allow You to lead us. We must belong exclusively to You. So, Father, we thank You for salvation. And we thank You for the transformation that You do in our hearts and You're still doing in our hearts. By Your grace, may You enable us, in the name of Jesus Christ, to love like Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.